not.
I'm ad-libbing. That's a verse that talks about how the Lord foretells things that have not yet happened as if they already have. Yes, indeed. He's the only one that can do that and be right every time.
Right.
Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll sing our favorite, 130. We'll stand for our final hymn prior to the message this morning. And for all you moms, happy Mother's Day. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, faithful moms, I tell you, I miss mine every day. 130, our favorite. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth. There is power. Where? In the blood. That's right. Be free from your burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come through a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Service for Jesus your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Please be seated, church. Oh, boy. Power in the blood. Even the power to regenerate the soul, to cleanse from sin. My sister Ellie, years ago, about 30, she was, when she first got saved, she's probably been saved 32 years now. She says, 1985, I think she got saved. She says to me, she says, Bob, you know, I was wondering if there was a verse in the Bible that talks about the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin. And she says back to me a few days later, she said, I found it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And she said, that's my life verse. Oh man, so funny when you're newly saved, you know, you're looking for your life's verse and you're just learning your way around the scriptures, and such an exciting time. And my wife will tell you real quick, she couldn't get my nose out of that book. Oh my goodness, I could just spend all day, 12 hours in studying the scriptures. It just can't get enough. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Absolutely. It gives you a hunger.
Yeah, I first got saved. I have my wife brush the dust off next time.
Yeah. Not dusty no more, Scott. Worn out is what it is. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time. Speaking of Bibles, and please open up to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 1. So thankful this morning for all the mothers, and I'm so thankful that even our dear Lord had a mother, amen, and she was a good one. I want to bring your attention this morning to Matthew chapter 1. We'll read one verse, pray and preach. And I want to speak to you this morning, church, on a sermon I've entitled, A Good and Godly Mother. A Good and Godly Mother. Her name is Mary. And, you know, Mary gets a bad rap. Mary can't win for trying. The Catholics deify her and commit the sin of Mariolatry. The Baptists, you know, they scowl her and, oh, she's just a wicked sinner like you and me, and they put her down. This poor gal can't win for trying. But she was a special woman in the Bible. And I want to show you that this morning, because she was a good and godly mother to our dear Lord. And yes, indeed, Scott, that's right. And look with me here in Matthew chapter 1 at verse 16. The Bible says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Here in verse 16, we learn that this lady called Mary was the mother of Christ Jesus, our Lord. How special is that? And I want to here to tell you this morning that she was a good un, as they say down south. She was a good un. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this good and godly mother named Mary. Lord, we thank you that she is not the mother of God, but she was the chosen human vessel, the instrumentality through which Messiah would be born. Lord, that's a very special calling. And I thank you, Lord, that as we'll see today from the scriptures, she accepted that responsibility and she did it well. Lord, Mary is a shining example to every mother today, to every young woman today, to every girl today, of what a good and godly mother should be. Lord, I just ask you to bless the message. We won't be long, but we thank you for this shining example in Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, the Bible gives us some great examples of good and godly mothers down through the ages. But as I study the Bible and survey some of these great women of faith, I have a hard time finding any that can even come close to topping the life of Mary, the wife of Joseph and mother of our dear Lord. Today, on this special day of honoring our mothers, I'd like to briefly look at some of the crowning qualities and characteristics that made Mary such a good and godly mother. But let me issue a disclaimer before we begin. This message is intended to encourage you and to give you some amiable goals to strive for. But do not think that you can't be a good and godly mother because maybe you haven't done everything that Mary did. Maybe you've done some things you're ashamed of. We all have. But I'm here to tell you this morning, ladies, that you can be a good and godly mother. The Bible says so. And I love that my sister's life first. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Listen now, God meets you where you are. And he makes something beautiful of your life, if you let him. Amen? I want to look at a few of the things in Mary's life that made her such a good and godly mother. The first is this. Mary was a virtuous woman. Church, she was virtuous. Look with me in Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, that's engaged, to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. In verse 18, we learn that Mary was a virgin, that Mary was a virtuous woman, that Mary had preserved herself and saved herself for marriage. Now, before they even got married, she's found pregnant. But we've got good news in verse 18 that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Drop down with me to verse 22. In verse 22, and she shall bring forth, this is the angel telling what shall occur to Zechariah about his wife. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a what? A virgin shall be with child. Wait a minute. Time out, church. Wait a minute. Did he just say what I thought he said? Yup. Has this ever happened in history before this time or after? Nope. Never. This is a one-of-a-kind event in the history of this world. A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. She says this little baby's boy that she's going to give birth to will be God, manifest in the flesh. I love it. She was a virtuous woman, folks. She didn't mess around. She waited on God and did God's will. I'm so thankful for that. And Luke, flip over to Luke's gospel quickly and go to Luke chapter 1. It gets better. In Luke chapter 1, I'm so thankful that the first quality and characteristic of Mary, which made her a good godly mother, was her virtuosity, if that's a word. In Luke chapter number 1, look with me at verse 26. And in the sixth month, this is the sixth month of her pregnancy, okay? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Wow! I love it. Verse 18 declares clearly that Mary was pronounced to be highly favored of the Lord. She was a good and godly mother. And I'm here to tell you, ladies, this morning that you are highly favored of the Lord. No, you're not going to give birth to a Messiah. That's already been done. But you are favored by God. Why? Because you belong to Him. And you can be like Mary, virtuous. Oh, I love that. She was godly. She was clean. She was wonderful. Oh, yes, indeed. I tell you, Mary was a good and godly mother. But something else made her a good and godly mother. And that is this. Listen now. Mary accepted God's will for her child. Did you hear what I said, ladies? Mary accepted God's plan and will for her child. She didn't resist it. Some moms do. Look with me in Luke chapter 2. And oh, what a plan he had for this baby. In Luke chapter 2, we read in verse 7, And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, and keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone, Shekinah, round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord and Messiah. And this shall be a sign that unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, they're amazed, these shepherds, and they go to find the baby. Drop down to verse 16. And they came with haste. They didn't waste time. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, notice it, 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She's thinking. She's meditating upon what they're telling her about her child, saying that he is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. She understood the prophecies. And she said, wait a minute. If this is the Messiah, God has a special plan for his life. Verse 19. She pondered this in her heart. Drop down to verse 28. Then took he, this is Simeon. Then took he him up, the baby, the Christ the Lord baby, in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which has thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother, notice the scripture never ever calls Joseph his father. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now notice in these verses that Simeon is prophesying to Mother Mary and telling her that there's going to be great sorrow in her life concerning this child. Did Mary say, time out, wait a minute, I don't want that? No, no. Mary never resisted the will of God for this child. Oh, what a lesson we can learn here, church, this morning. We've got to accept what God has planned for our kids. I'm so thankful that my son, Bobby Jr., is pastoring a Baptist church in Maine. In fact, I used to pastor that same church myself. My son is pastoring that church. I'm so thankful that my sister, my nephew, has a ministry, an incredible ministry to child evangelism in the streets of Massachusetts and winning souls to Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for God's will for our kids. Amen? He's got plans, and we need not interfere with those plans, church. Listen carefully now. From Christian Victory Magazine, Dr. Howard Kelly, the famous Christian physician, once said, and I quote, the first recorded words of the dear Lord Jesus were, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And his last recorded words were, it is finished. Listen, folks, Jesus accepted the will of God for his life, and so did his mother. I am so thankful for Mary, a good and godly mother, saying, yes, Lord, thy will be done, not mine. I'm not going to keep my boy back from your plans for him. And don't you know that at the age of 12, on his bar mitzvah in Jerusalem, in the temple, he's teaching the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees, and they said, what wisdom has this child? And he says, I must be about my Father's business. He wanted to begin his 3.5-year earthly ministry when he was 12. And he would have, except his mother and Joseph came along and said, son, where you been? And he said, I'll obey you. And they didn't get it. He wanted to go right to it. In Luke 22, don't turn there. Verse 42, Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. Folks, you pray that prayer. Is that your heart's desire today? Father, not my will be done, but thine be done. A good and godly mother will accept whatever God's will is for her child. It might be him becoming a doctor. It might be him becoming a garbage truck driver. It might be him becoming a preacher. Whatever it is, God has a plan. And we need to accept that plan. But something else made her a good and godly mother. Listen carefully. Mary obeyed God's word. That's a pretty practical one here. Mary obeyed the word of God. Listen, look with me in Luke 2 again. In Luke chapter 2, look with me at verse 21. Verse 21. Watch this. Don't miss this. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel of the Lord, before he was conceived in the womb, Gabriel. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to his mother? No, to the Lord. He was presented to the Lord. Listen, he's the firstborn son. He belongs to God. 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, consecrated to the Lord. And here's why else they came. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. Notice how many times you see the words, the law of the Lord. They're doing the law of the Lord. 24, a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Folks, here's what I'm trying to show you. In verses 21, 22, 23, 24, Mary is keeping the word of God. She's obeying it. She's doing it by the letter. Everything God instructed in his word to be done concerning this newborn babe. Everything. She didn't resist God's will. She didn't say no to God. She simply obeyed God's word. You know that our lives can be so simple if we just obey God's word. It's not rocket science, the Christian life. We simply need to do what he says to do. Now, notice here in these verses also, church, very interesting, dispensationally speaking. Jesus was born under the law. He wasn't born under grace. He didn't go to the cross yet. So what did they do? They kept the law. You know what I would have done if I was born 2,000 years ago? I'd keep the law. I'd go to temple. I'd bring a lamb. I'd do everything the priest told me to do and the scriptures of the Old Testament. Because that's all they had. That's all they had. And that's all you can do is what you know God wants you to do. She obeyed God's word, folks. The great preacher John Wesley put on his private seal these three words: believe, obey, love. These three words not only summarized Wesley's experience, but really indicate the secret of the victorious Christian life. To truly believe in the cross of Christ marks the beginning. To truly love him with the whole heart is the final climax. But sandwiched in between these two, obedience bridges them together all through our earthly life. I love that. Believe, obey, love. For there can be no progress in faith, Wesley said, without obedience. There can be no progress in faith without practical obedience. In World War II, in the North Pacific, there was a little tiny island called Iwo Jima. Its dry surface of volcanic ash has been likened to the landscape of that on the moon. Nothing lives on it. And to gain possession of this tiny but vital strategic piece of land, the United States paid the price of some 21,000 soldiers' lives in the war with Japan. But for the men who took Iwo Jima, it was never a question of a feeling of adequacy or inadequacy, of courage or lack of courage. No, they took Iwo Jima in obedience to a command. Those men who died. They took it in obedience to a command. MacArthur told them, boys, take that island, no matter what. And all the bloodshed that we suffered. But you know what we did? We obeyed the commander, the general, and we took it. Folks, you know what we need to do? We're fighting under a great commander. And when he tells us to do something, we need not argue and speculate and pray about it. Some things you don't have to pray about. Just do it. Just do it. I love that bumper sticker. Just do it. The DWJD. Do what Jesus did. Oh, I love it. That's how we need to be obey God. No matter what the cost, I'm going to live and die obeying the commands of this book. Is that your heart's attitude today? And I'm going to do it with my whole heart, not partially. A good and godly mother will obey God's word. Mary did. But something else I want you to see this morning. Mary, what made her a good and godly mother? Fourthly, Mary pointed others to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Mary never told anybody to obey her, ever. She told them to obey him. She pointed them to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Go to John's gospel real quick. I love this, how the Bible clarifies Mary's standpoint. And it wasn't herself. In John chapter 2, verse 1 we read, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus," what's her name? Mary, "was there. And both," look at it, "and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus," Mary, "saith unto them, they have no wine." Drop down to verse 5. "His mother saith unto the servants," what? Pointing at Jesus. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I love it. Mary never told them to obey her voice. Mary never told them to pray to her. Mary never told them she could work miracles for them. She said, "Do what he says to do. Don't look at me." Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you there's a religion in this world that's got it all backwards. They don't understand the scriptures nor the power thereof. They have not the Spirit of God, and it's scary. Because yesterday I understand that the Pope canonized two saints, gave them sainthood, that at Fatima in Portugal, 100 and something years ago, this vision appeared to them of, guess who? Mary. And they buy that, and they swallowed hook, line, and sinker. How ridiculous. And folks, I'm here to tell you that Mary never told them to honor her. She said, "You do what he says." Verse number 5. I love it. Dr. Lee Robertson, the great, incredible pastor and president of Temple University. Years ago, I met him. He was 95 when I met him. He came to First Bible, where I went to Bible college, in 1988. We're going back a ways here, 29 years. And Dr. Lee Robertson stood and preached for us, all the preacher boys, all of the seminary students. We all gathered in the hall, and Dr. Lee Robertson came out, and he came to the pulpit, and he said, "Men, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ," he said, "you better be right with God." And he pointed his finger at us and he said, "Not just right with God, but right with God." I'll never forget it as long as I live. Dr. Lee Robertson said, "You better be right with God." What was he saying? He's saying, you need the lordship of Jesus Christ, men, if you're going to serve successfully in the ministry. And the man had 7 decades of service behind him. Wow, what a man. What a man. "You better be right with God." Wow, Dr. Lee Robertson. But I see something else, beloved, concerning Mary being a good and godly mother. Mary stood by her child to the end. Woo! I like this. She stood by her child to the very end. In John chapter 19, look at it. You know what we need to do? We need to stand by our kids. No, they're not perfect. Yes, they'll mess up. Yes, they'll get into trouble. But we need to stand by them. Amen? Why? Because they're our kids. You know God stands by you no matter what. Why? Because you're his kid. Look here in John chapter 19. Don't miss this in closing. Mary stood by her child to the very end. John 19. You know what happens in John 19. They're crucifying our Savior. The first time I ever read John 19 was about October 4th, the day after I got saved, 1986. And as I read the words in John chapter 19, and as they nailed Jesus Christ, my Savior, to the cross, I felt my cheeks, and there was tears coming down my cheeks. And I said, what's going, what's this? It's the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. Because the first time in my life, it was my Savior they were nailing to that cross, not just some Savior. Folks, it's powerful. John chapter 19, look at verse 16. Then delivered he, Pilate, him, Jesus, therefore unto them, the soldiers, to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him. On either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. Drop down with me to verse 23. They crucified him. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. There's great significance there. They said therefore amongst themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment amongst them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. That's found in Psalm 22, a prophetic psalm of the cross itself. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, who? His mother, Mary. And his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. Notice the first person named standing by him in his hour of death. His mother. And Mary stood there watching her son bleed and die for the sins of the world. And she said, I don't care if nobody in the world stays with him. I'm here to stay. I'm here with him to the end. Wow. A good and godly mother will stay with her child to the very end. She did. Look at it. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother. Wow. And the disciple standing by whom he loved. It's John. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Wow. What a bond Jesus Christ had with Mary. What a deep love she shared and with him. How precious it is that in his dying breath, he says, take care of my mom, Mother's Day. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that Mother's Day is a very special time. Our Lord had one, and she was a good and godly one. In closing, let me give you this. The great hymn entitled Hold the Fort, for I Am Coming, was written by P.P. Bliss. It was suggested to him by an incident in the American Civil War. At Altoma Pass, the fort being held by General Corse was besieged by the enemy under General Hood, who summoned it to surrender. Corse refused to surrender. Many were the casualties, but in spite of the hopeless situation, the defenders remained faithful to their general. They refused to surrender the fort to the enemy. Finally, after 4 weeks of holding the fort, through this telescope, the watchman saw a white signal flag across the valley some 20 miles away. The flag was waving a Morse code message. It was saying, hold the fort, for I am coming. It was General Sherman marching to the relief of the beleaguered and faithful defenders. Folks, I think I can see the signal flag waving in the sky. And Jesus says, hold the fort, church, for I am coming. Don't give up to the enemy. Don't give in. Don't fall out of place. Keep on fighting. I'm on my way. Don't give up. Don't retreat. Don't quit, for I'm coming for your relief. Listen now. Jesus wants us, like Mary, to stand by him to the very end. Oh, if you didn't get anything else I said today, get this. He wants you to stand with him to the very end. You know what Paul said in his final chapter before Nero beheaded him in Rome? Paul said, the Lord, all men forsook me, but he said, the Lord stood with me, and by me the preaching went forth. Paul was saying, that in the when I came to my final breath, the Lord was still with me. Folks, don't you know he'll never leave you nor forsake you? And don't you know that you can be a good and godly servant? Men, I'm talking to you too. That we can be good and godly servants like Mary was. We can be faithful like Mary was. We can stand by our Lord as Mary did. Oh, what an example Mary is to us. She never gave up on Jesus. She never let him go. She never lost sight of her son. And she was there in his final day, in his final hour when they nailed him to the cross. There was Mary saying, "That's my son. I love my son." Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning, this Mother's Day morning, for Mary, the mother of our dear Lord Jesus, that she gave birth to the greatest person that ever lived. Amen. In world history. His name is Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he was a real baby, a real human being, and Mary was a real mother to him. But, oh God, this one thing, if nothing else we can learn from her today, is that she stood with Jesus to the very end. She never, ever turned her back on her son. She never, ever stopped loving him. And she never, ever stopped obeying him and serving him. Oh, what an example. We love you this morning, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals for a... We'll stand for a time of invitation. Perhaps you've faltered a little bit along the way. Perhaps you want to renew your commitment to this Christ the Lord that was born to Mary. Perhaps you want to cement your relationship with him today. If so, the altar is open. 231 we will sing. On 231 we'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. And oh me, oh my. This song says it all. Because I'm here to tell you, church, this morning, you need him. You need him now like you've never needed him before with the way this world is going. I need thee every hour, the songwriter wrote. And we'll sing hymn 231, first, third, and fourth. The altar is open if you need it. Every eye closed. Father, how we thank you for the song, the invitation this morning. And perhaps, dear Lord, there may be one here in church this morning or listening on the website. Perhaps you've got a child. Perhaps you're a mother or a father, and you've got a child that's gone astray. Perhaps you've got a child that's fallen away from God. Perhaps you've got a child that's never come to God. And by an uplifted hand, you'd say, "Pastor, pray for me." I see that hand. I see that hand. Pray for me, Pastor. I've got a child. I've got a child that I need prayer for. Indeed, Father, we thank you so much for these who need prayer for their children. Lord, we thank you that you see them where they are. Lord, we thank you that you know all about it. Lord, we thank you that you can bring them to the foot of the cross as you brought us. And oh God, our prayer this morning as parents is that you would restore that child. You'd bring that loved one back to you, Lord God. Perhaps they've never been saved and they need to be born again, redeemed by the blood of Christ, regenerated spiritually by the Holy Ghost. Perhaps they need new birth. And oh God, if that's the case, we pray they would come even today to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we love them. Because we're their parents. And oh God, we want to be good and godly parents to our children. We pray for them. And Lord, we pray for your will to to be done in each of their lives through Jesus, we pray. On the third, beloved, I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee on the fourth. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Oh, praise the Lord, church. What a blessing to be in God's house with you today on this Mother's Day, and how we are reminded from the Word of God that the mother of our Lord was there with him. Oh, Brother Scott dismisses us in prayer. Don't forget, folks, spend the day with Mom. Honor her. No service tonight because it's Mother's Day. And we'll see you either Wednesday night or next Sunday morning. Brother Scott.
Lord God, thank you for this sermon. We all got here through our mother. Sometimes we forget, and sometimes, you know, Satan will try to cause division. Let's all have a good Mother's Day and remind our mothers so much we care about.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.